I was laying in a bed, I guess, like I said, about 3 weeks ago, and I'm really bad. I get stuff on my mind. I can't go to sleep. Are y'all that way? And I don't watch hardly no TV, but we do have a TV in there in their bedroom, and I'll turn that thing on, and I'll turn it on something like Dr. Poe or something like that, just anything to get my mind off whatever, and I'll go to sleep. And I sleep on, if the bed, the head of the bed's right here, I sleep on this side. She sleeps on that side. It's always been that way. We've done that ever since we've been married. And I always put the remote there in between us. And that way, if when I go to sleep, if I roll over and wake up, I'll cut it off. She rolls over, wakes up, she cuts it off, but we can find it and get it cut off. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was laying there, and it was just typical, and I just dozed off to sleep. And all of a sudden, pow, and it was a strike of lightning. And I grabbed that remote, and I hit rewind. And then I realized I couldn't rewind that and see it. We've got so used. I guess the first rewinds I ever seen was on cassette tapes. I don't think the 8-tracks had that. You just kept clicking around and going around. But cassettes, you could rewind. And on TV, we've got so used to, we'll pause, we'll rewind, we'll fast forward, we'll do all these things. And I thought, I'll never tell her I done that. I hate to have to get up here and tell y'all, because I felt like an idiot. I did. But I was laying there, and then God began to work on me. Amen. And he began to take that silly thing I done and get to show me something I was going to have to preach during this revival. And I began to think about all the things in my life. If I could go back, if I could hit rewind, and go back and tell this person about Jesus. If I could go back to that point and tell them about my Lord, that they've gone on now, and it breaks my heart that I failed them. If I could go back and tell my mom and daddy one more time that I loved them. If the night my brother died, if I just got there in time, I headed to the hospital, you know, maybe if I'd left 2 minutes earlier, I could got in there and I said, I love you, brother. There's so many things. I think about the years I've wasted. I wasted 8 years running from a call to preach, and I don't know, I've thought about it many times. I thought, you know, maybe if I would have owned it right up off the front, maybe I would have never stuck. I don't. Maybe God had to bring me down to a point that I got willing to stick and do what he wanted me to do. But then I think about so many times since I owned my call to preach and I begin to try. And there's still times I'd think about if you could just hit rewind. Y'all pray for us. I want to read everything I'm going to read is going to be very familiar. Everything we talk about, preach about will be very familiar. I want to read out of Matthew 26. After the Lord's Supper, the Bible says up there on the top, the Last Supper, I believe it's the Lord's Supper, the First Supper. Then Jesus, it was after that, and they go into the Mount of Olives, or going to the Mount of Olives. And there saith Jesus unto them in the 31st verse, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And then I want to go over here. I feel like I need to read in Luke's gospel to do when Peter done exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. In the 22nd chapter of Luke, and beginning in the 54th verse, they was taking him to the high priest's house, and then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him, and he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And at about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, the truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou art saying. And then immediately while he yet spake, the crop crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and remembered, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how that he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And now I want to go over here, and I'll probably be done reading. I guess, I don't know, but in Romans chapter 5, and it said, and we'll try to get back to Peter in a little while. In the 17th verse, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense one judgment come upon all men and condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. And for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And y'all pray for us a little while. I want to try to look at some of these things throughout the Bible. Were men, I have no doubt, if they could have went back and rewind, hit the rewind button. A lot of times churches, when they make it in an error, they'll say, we'll just rescind the act of it. That's a lie. You cannot rescind the act of nothing. I want you to know, if we could rescind the act, Adam would have rescinded the act from the get-go. It's no way. All you can do is repent. There is no rewind. You can't go back and fix it. All you can do is get forgiveness for it. So I want to start with Adam. And I want to talk about just a little while some of the things this man went through. We all know God told him, the tree of life in the center of the garden, you cannot eat. And when you eat it, you shall surely die. How Satan come along and he beguiled Eve, and he told her, you shall not surely die. And she looked on the fruit, there would be something good to eat. And she took and ate it. And then she gave it to Adam and he ate it. And I believe soon as he hit that, I believe he wanted to hit rewind. Because he looked at her and she looked at him and they was naked. That conviction you was talking about a while ago, it hit him right square in the face. And you know what the man done? He went and hid himself in the trees of the garden to try to hide from God. And God come just like he had, no telling how many times before, in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, right on where art thou? And I want you to know, Adam began to wish he could hit the rewind. He wished he could go back. Never touch that fruit. But all he could do then was repent. There was no such thing as rescinding the act of it. He had sinned. And because of that, it had brought sin on all mankind. I want you to think about that as God began to explain that to him. How his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren were all going to have to die because of him. God, the one thing he done, he just didn't believe God. He denied God. He didn't believe what God had told him. And it's no doubt when I sent him out of the garden and sent him out to till the ground, I bet he wished he could hit rewind because things were never going to be the same again. Yes, he was saved by God's grace. But listen, I want you to know, things was never going to be the same. That was placed in the eastern guard, cherubims and a flaming sword to guard the tree of life. Then you get in the fourth chapter. God, the Bible says, Adam knew Eve. And the Lord gave them a boy child. And they named him Cain. Adam took that baby, held him in his arm. You don't think he wasn't excited about his baby? And then God opened her womb again. And she gave him another son, named him Abel. Now Cain, I could just see him. He was a man of the field. He worked. He worked hard. And I had no doubt he was a strong, handsome, good-looking man. I had no doubt about it. I believe he was a big man, good and strong. And Abel kept the sheep. I believe he was taught from the time. I believe when God killed an animal, I believe it was a lamb. And I believe his daddy told him, son, you keep his sheep. There's going to be a picture in this. And I believe that in all my heart. But God, come time for God, asked for a sacrifice. And Cain brought the things of the field. And Abel brought him a lamb, I believe. And I want you to know God was pleased. I was able to sacrifice. But he wasn't pleased with Cain because his was by works. And you're not saved by works. Amen. It's by the love, blood of the Lamb. Amen. And I want you to know, it come to pass that Cain, Adam's only son, killed his little brother. He killed their baby boy. And Adam, no doubt, wanted to rewind. There the blood of his baby son was on the ground. Why? Because of his sin. Because his choice that he made. His son was laying there dead. And his only son had killed his baby. What would he have given to hit rewind? What would he have given if he could have rescinded today? But he couldn't. I'd like to say I thought about it, but God showed me. He said, you talk about Lot a little while. Yeah. I don't know how far. You're going to have to decide where you'd rewind to. I believe Adam would have rewound back to that point before he took that fruit. Lot, you find in the 13th chapter of Genesis, him and Abraham's cattlemen begin to fight among themselves. There wasn't enough room for the cattle to graze. Abraham said, hey, let be no dispute between us. He said, you go one direction, and I'll go the other. If you go the right, I'll go the left. But he let Lot choose and make his choice. And I can see Lot now. You remember how Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw Mount Moriah? I believe Lot done the same thing. He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and there was Sodom and Gomorrah. just like the garden. It was grass there for the cattle. It was all the water they was going to need. And he said, I'll go this direction. He pitched his tent that way. That's where he was going to live. I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe the man went there and met a wife. I believe he began to have children. And I believe Peter said, the brother told us the other night, it vexed his righteous soul. I believe the whole time he was there, he knew these people were wrong. I believe the whole time he was there, it bothered him day after day after day, the choice he'd made. But he stayed there. Had come a point that God was going to destroy Solomon, Gomorrah, and Abraham pleaded for. He said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And it got down, I think it was 5 or 10, that he said, I'll not destroy them for them. I want to tell you how big my God is.
Amen.
In the 19th chapter of Genesis, you'll find that Lot was sitting at the gate. God had let him know he was sending those angels. That's where they took care of business, and it was fixing to be some business. Took care at the gate. So Lot was sitting there at the gate. He was waiting. God had not let him know he'd went there and sat down. He was waiting for them to get there. When they got there, he said, he called them lords. He said, come into my house. Come into your servant's house. I believe when he sat at that gate, knowing what was coming, and knowing why it was coming, I bet he wished he could hit rewind. I bet he wished he would have never pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He would like to went back, made a different choice. But he denied God too. And that's exactly what he done when he chose the world over God.
Amen.
And I believe Lot was the same man. It said his righteous soul. So he sat there at the gate, and he dreaded that, something awful. They came, those wicked men even tried to get those angels. They said that we may know them. I want to tell you that it was homosexuality is what was going on. Now, I've often wondered about him offering his daughters that were virgins, and I believe all that means was it's letting us know they was innocent, because I believe those daughters is the ones that left with him. Because it goes on and it says that he had son-in-laws. So if he had son-in-laws and the film girls were virgins, they wouldn't marry. So he had other daughters. So it come to a point, he says, you got anybody? They said, you got anybody else here with you? He said, well, I got my son-in-laws. He went over to them and they act as if one mocked. He'd lived his life in such a way that they didn't believe nothing he had to say about God. And it said, it come a time, and then they begin, it said Lot lingered. His mind went back. He lifted up his eyes. Have you ever done that? Have you ever went back to the places in your mind that you wish you could change? The things you've done. The filthy things you done, the bad things you done, the times you denied God, all the times that you failed. Have you ever wished, how far would you hit rewind? That's the question for me. I don't know how far I'd go back. I don't know how far I'd go back. But I don't know how Lot raised up his eyes and he saw how that looked to him. And then him and his two daughters and his wife begin to leave. And they begin to walk, and his wife looks back, and she's destroyed with Sodom and Gomorrah. She becomes a pillar of salt. He loses some of his children, his son-in-laws. He loses his wife. He gets the world going, and he sits down. And he's lost just about everything. And it was all because the choice he made. And no doubt he wanted to rescind the act. I want to go back. I don't want to do this. I know, Lord, please let me go back and change it. But he couldn't. Then I thought about David. The man that says these are not a cause. The man that loved Lord. It was a man after God's holy heart. I want you to know this man loved God. He went up and fought against the Philistine. And then he got lazy. He got reserved. And come time for the battle, and he laid back. He stayed, and he was laid up in the bed. It was evening time. And he gets up. He laid in the bed all day. And he gets up. And he goes up on the rooftop. And once again, he looks. And there he sees something he desires. And that was the beginning of his downfall. He saw her and he told him, he said, y'all go get her, bring her here. And they said, hey, she's got a husband. Her husband's Uriah. And he said, y'all bring her here. And they took her there and he knew her and she come with a child. When he found out she was with a child, then he was in a mess. I bet he went right then started wishing he could hit that backup button of what he'd done. And he knew what he'd done. This all started with the sin of Adam. This all started. That's why we're all where we're at today. So he started thinking, if I could just go back. If I could, and then he started thinking, if I could hide this. So he sent for Uriah. And he had him brought, and he gets him drunk and tells him, go down there. You go down there and you stay with your wife tonight. And Uriah wouldn't do it. He said, my brother and I are out fighting in the battle, and you want me to go down there with my wife? I'm not doing it. What he ends up doing is getting him to take his own death letter with him. Yep. And delivering it, putting him on the front line, and having this man killed. And then God, he thinks he's got it whooped. Everything's good. And God sends a man named Nathan. Amen. And he comes up and tells David, you're the man. Amen. You're the one that's done this. You're the one that needs to die, deserves to die. Amen. But he said, God is going to let you live, but he's going to take this baby. And I don't know about y'all. I can see his countenance as he was standing there saying, the man that done this thing should surely die. And then Nathan said, you're the man. And I can just see his countenance changing and how he went back to that rooftop. If I'd just been at battle, if I'd just been doing what I'm supposed to been doing, if I hadn't went up on that rooftop, if I hadn't been laying around in bed all day, if I hadn't been lazy, it wasn't not a cause. What was I doing? Then he fell down and began to pray and ask God to save the baby's life. Once again, we're here again. A man losing his children because he denied God. That's all it was. He didn't believe God. He didn't trust God. And he ends up in the same place and he loses his child. How far would he have went back? When he went back and rewound to him and when he stood and said, is there not a cause? When he just went back to when he stayed at home and didn't go to the battle, I have no idea. But I tell you this. I believe in all of our heart that man regretted what he done. And then we get back to Peter. Peter loved the Lord. He walked with the Lord. When the Lord called him, he immediately followed him. He wasn't like me and a lot of you. He took off right after him. And I believe he meant every word of it. When Jesus told them, all men will be offended with me this night. And Peter, he loved him. He did. And he said, Lord, even if all are offended, I won't deny you. Then we find Peter following along behind, just like I have so many times. They build the campfire. He comes and gathers around with the rest of the world, not fitting in. They come to him, and one comes to him. He says, I don't know him. I don't know this man. He denies him. Another one comes to him. He denies him. When one of the gospels says the last one come to him, he got to the point, he cussed. Denied him, and then the crowd crew. He was sitting there, and he looked up, and they was bringing Jesus by. And he walked by. He looked at him. And when he looked at him, Peter went out. They began to weep. Don't you think he wished he had that remote in his hand? Don't you think if he could rescind an act, he'd say, I just rescind the act of it, Lord. It never happened. But it did. All he could do was repent and go on and serve him. I want you to know something tonight. If you've ever been saved, and this is where I'm getting to, and I want to go a little further, but if you've been saved, you're never going to find peace with God, happiness with God. If you've been saved, you got peace with it, but you'll never find happiness until you quit denying Him. Because that's exactly what you're doing. And I want you to know something else. If you don't stand up and let it be known what God has done for you, all you'll ever do is be out there in the world weeping and never have no joy of your salvation. That's exactly where Peter was. And I believe he knew exactly where Lot had been. He said, it vexed his righteous soul. It was killing Lot, and he knew it because he had been sitting by the same fire with the same people denying Christ. There was a certain rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. The Bible says the rich man was dressed in purple and fared sumptuously. He just had everything. He done well. And the beggar was laid at his gate and he begged. And begged for the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. It was said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know something? You may not believe this. I believe Lazarus was a witness to that rich man. I believe different times he probably come, the rich man walked by there and looked down at him and made eye contact. Yeah. And Lazarus looked up at him and told him, you need to quit trusting in the riches and trust in God. And I believe he walked by him, maybe day after day, walked by him, making eye contact with him, laying there, and the dog's licking his sore. What do you know? Look at me and look at you. Look at where you're at. Then the Bible says both of those men died, and they was buried. The angels took Lazarus up to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he began to plead then with Abraham. He began to want to rewind, but his fate had been sealed. It was no rewinding. I'm telling you, there's no rewind button. There's no rescinding that. And he began to plead how he was in torment in this flame. Send Lazarus, he might don't take a tip of his finger and lay it on his tongue. He might be comforted. He said, well, if you can't do that, I've got five brothers. Send him to my brother. They might repent and not come to this place. There wasn't nothing he could do about himself. But he wanted to see that his brethren might be saved. If you're here tonight and you've been denying what God's done for you, you need to own up to it. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to seek the Lord. Because there's going to come a time you're going to be laying in a bed, going down a road in a car, in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash of the sky, you're going to want to rewind. You want to go back and change things. There's no rescinding that. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. There's going to come a day you're going to wish you could hit the rewind. When my daddy died, every time I'd went up there, the last several times I'd went, he was mad at me because he was up there and Mama was up there and we couldn't take care of both and it was bad shape. But I stopped on a Wednesday night on my way to Bible study. And I went in there and talked to him. And I went to leave. And he said, I love you, son. And I said, I love you, Daddy. My daddy never told me he loved me. I walked out of that room the next morning. My daddy was dead. And I'm so thankful. I don't have to worry about hitting the rewind on that one. I'm so thankful that I can go back to a 14-year-old boy when I called out on the name of the Lord. I don't have to worry about that one. I'm so thankful the next night I stood up and told what Jesus had done for me and united with his church. I don't have to hit the rewind on that one. I'm so thankful I finally got willing to hold my call to preach and do what he'd have me to do. I don't have to hit the rewind on that one. But during all that, my sister was dying with cancer. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I've told it before, and I don't like telling it. I come home from work. I sit down in my recliner and my wife sitting on the other side. Our chairs sit in the same place. They've sat there for 30 years. I looked over at her and she said, Hilda went to the doctor today. And she's got cancer. I went in the bedroom, laid across the bed, running from a call to preach. And I was squalling and bawling and moaning and groaning. And she came in there and she said she might be all right. And I said, she's not gonna be all right. The blood of my little sister was going to be on the ground and her older brother. Because I wasn't going to hold my call to preach. I couldn't read. I wasn't going to do it. I'd love to rewind back in there. I'd love to go back there and just got up and yelled, I've been called to preach, God, help me. You're going to have to decide where you're going to have to rewind back to. And it all started with a piece of fruit. A man lost his baby boy, and his son, his oldest son, killed him A man lost his children. A man lost his baby boy. Peter was at a point, I don't think he lost no family over it. But he lost the joy of his salvation sitting there around that campfire. I'll not deny you how many times I have. I don't know. It's been countless. And if you'll be honest, you have too. But I pray. Have you ever been in that point of your life where everything just looked perfect? Have you? When everything was great. I remember when we was living in a little single-wide trailer. And I mean an old one, the one that had flood damage. It was all we could afford. I gave $3,000 for it. The payment on it was $110. The furniture in it was rusted because it had been in a flood. Jenny was about 4 years old. Maggie was a baby. I was the happiest person on earth. I could have hit pause right there. I'd said, pause it right here. Just pause it here. But you can't do that neither. Life's going to happen. Tonight, don't be in hell wanting to rewind. Don't sit with the campfire of the world and weep because you can't be happy because you're denying the Lord. Just follow after Him. I know that was a scattered mess. And I know it was the craziest thought I may have ever had, but I'll tell you one thing, it come from God.
Amen.
It come through a flash of lightning. Somebody silly enough to think he could pick up a remote and rewind it and see it again. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. We'll have a song. I won't give an altar call. I think Emma's on the altar. If you're here tonight and you need to be on the altar, you seek the Lord. As we stand and sing.